So as we mentioned on the show, we are going to be Twitch watching Game 4 of the NBA Finals, which at least won't seem super sad because this was looking like Game 4 might be the end of the series. So now Game 4 is a massive game. We're watching it on Twitch. We did that once before. I hated it. I don't want to do this personally. Can you guys do this without me? Because I am watching on such a delay that you ruined everything.
Let's sync up. We can do this, guys. We got to figure out who's first, and then you pause it, and then we all pause it at that exact same moment. We could do it. It's possible.
I was screaming that during the Twitch, but everyone got too much joy out of me being on a delay, saying, oh, it's a great way to watch the game. Not for me, it is.
I'm good with you bailing on halftime, like if the game's close. No, seriously. Like, I know how important this is to you, and Dan is like 17 seconds ahead of all of us.
This is where Stugatz is like, Mike, I'll even bail with you, buddy. I'll bail with you.
Yeah, I'll drive down to the house and watch the second half with you.
Yeah, Mike can go. I can go, right? I'm always suspicious.
Listen, I know what you guys are thinking. This is a rare time where, because it doesn't mean as much to me as it does to Mike, where I was volunteering to stick around and Mike could leave at halftime, okay? But now that you brought it up, good idea. I'll be leaving at halftime too.
Exactly. Stu, if you wanted to do what's right for Mike, you could just bail at halftime so you don't ruin the game for him and he can enjoy without you telling him what's going on.
That's another way to look at it. Maybe Mike's the only one doing the second half.
You guys are doing a hell of a job promoting the audience to watch it with us when you don't want to watch it with them.
I don't want to watch it with you guys. Yeah. Oh, wait, Mike. Something happens. Oh, boy. I can tell what happens. I don't like chasing the entire game.
We can synchronize. We can absolutely do that.
Please do that because I'm so emotionally invested in this, and I just can't have it spoiled.
Okay.
Also, I gauge what the national sports topics are by First Take and the opening segment. It was all about the Cowboys losing. And the Miami Heat are running into this. They're the first team to ever appear in the NBA Finals without apparently winning a game. It was always about the other teams losing outside of the first-round matchup that nobody was paying attention to. How is Jimmy Butler's greatness not starting everything? This is just ratings-driven, right? This is, oh, let's laugh at the Cowboys, ratings-driven. Jimmy Butler is the talking point.
It's nothing knocks Monday off of football. Like nothing.
Not even LeBron? Like,
nothing. Nothing.
It's one of the greatest finals performances
we've
ever seen.
Mike, I'm not disagreeing with you. I understand. And I'm not disagreeing with you because I genuinely don't disagree. Not because I'm forced to continue this facade of Dan is loud wrong day. But First Take is always going to start with football.
If there's something that could knock them off, because we're in unprecedented times where we're having events that don't happen when they normally happen. So let's say Tiger wins a second consecutive Masters, which would happen in November.
I don't think anything knocks Football Monday off of Football Monday.
Really?
Okay. I at our network, we're a broadcast partner with the NFL.
Yeah.
And we celebrate Mondays in a way that very little other than a death in sports, I think, is important death at that.
But I think my general problem is...
And Mike, by the way, it's not Jimmy Butler's greatness that would normally be the story that would knock something off.
It's LeBron losing.
It's LeBron losing.
Yeah, that's my general problem with it. It's not touting the greatness of one. It's tearing down someone else such that you can. I mean, they're up to one. I don't think anyone in Lakerland is panicking. This is also the first time that the NBA Finals have ever had to worry about something like Monday morning NFL reaction while it's NBA Finals are going on. So this is all a little bit weird for us. I will say that to echo Sugatz's point, the games have been fun. The games have been good. The games have been top quality. The crowd, or lack thereof, hasn't really taken away from it. I do miss what the crowd can add to specific moments because that was a Heat home game, game three. Can you imagine? Now, I don't even know if it's possible. That's how much the bubble has sort of warped my sense on this. But can you imagine if Jimmy Butler had that game at the American Airlines Arena?
I mean, he was, you saw the spittle in his beard. Like, he was screaming at everybody. That guy is all barbed wire and jagged edges. And
when you say jagged edges, did you do that on purpose? Because he went to the arena listening to Jagged Edge singing it out loud? Because that video made it seem like, oh, this guy... something's a little off here. Why is he just happily singing an R&B song by Jagged Edge when he's presumably marching to his basketball funeral? And it works out for him.
Are we allowed to complain as a city about not being able to like celebrate this as much? Because right now, like, think about, like, I guess if if it wasn't a pandemic, it wouldn't all be happening at the same time. So it's not like we'd have this scenario where we could be going to a Marlins game and then a Heat game. So I guess the pandemic has to happen. But it just stinks that our teams are finally good and we can't be in any of these stadiums or arenas.
Try us.
I'm going. That's what I was saying to my wife the other day.
Where are you going?
I'm going to the Marlins Park for game two. I mean, for game three when they come home. I don't even care if they're not there. Like, it just has to happen.
What?
Game three of the Marlins game. When they come home, technically.
You're going to go to the game?
I'm going to just go to Marlins Park.
Okay. How are you going to get in?
Yeah.
I'll figure it out.
I think that this was already tried by Marlins man who a couple weeks back announced that he was going to watch some big Marlins game at the West Plaza. Which, of course, is closed because the stadium is closed and they're doing coronavirus testing around the stadium. So there's no way to get to the West Plaza. But he announced to everyone, I will be watching the game from there.
And this is the start of the bubble atmospheres, right? Because I was made very uncomfortable in watching the Braves games against the Reds to see the crowds that would gather outside of the Braves ballpark with no social distancing. I'd just rather have them in the ballpark at that point. But we're now in the bubble mode, right, for MLB playoffs?
Yeah, we're now in bubble mode. But I think Chris is right. I think it is sad when you consider this is probably one of the biggest weeks in South Florida sports history. It really is. It might be the biggest ever. When you consider you have a baseball, you're in the baseball playoffs.
What are you laughing at, Mike?
No, Dan. I'm not
Dan,
wrong today.
Wrong?
All right, what are the others, Stugatz? Just name them. Name
Nothing
two or
compares.
Three. Name two or three of the others that would.
Well,
compete.
You of course had the Heat in the NBA Finals for four consecutive years. You had 1 year, I believe, the Panthers and the Marlins. Mm-hmm. Panthers were in the Cup. The Marlins were in the World Series. That was a big week.
Same week.
I mean, you know, I'm running out of weeks. I Me gave you two weeks.
October. Don't think that was the same week.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
I don't even think it was the same year the Panthers and the Marlins. Now that
it was the year
about,
before for the Panthers.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. The Rats, right?
1996.
Yeah, so 96. I mean, that was a big year. That was definitely a big year.
Like, I know this is like the Stugatz move to like be hyperbolic, but he's not wrong in that tomorrow we have an NLDS game and a finals game on the same day. I know that can't happen in other years, but that is like as big of a sports day as we've had.
And Canes and Clemson. It's a big week. That's what I'm saying. You got one, Dan?
Well, I'm not the one making the claim, Stugatz.
He laid out a pretty good argument for it.
Yes, there's a pandemic.
And then he tried to undo his own argument by giving us bad time.
Have we ever been in the baseball playoffs? In the NBA playoffs at the same time and have a who's who game on Saturday?
Never.
Now I'm thinking, like, should Miami be happy there's a pandemic? What's going on here? This is weird.
The answer is no. That's a responsible answer, but also I admitted that I screamed, "I'm going to kill you myself" at Duncan Robinson on my TV, so maybe I shouldn't be.
What caused that exactly? Like, was there a particular play that caused that above? Like, he's in everyone's way. He's getting in. Yeah. He's
the
getting
misses,
so many fouls.
The misses. It's almost as if like he wants to give the appearance that he's not afraid. And he's putting up shots just because he has a green light. That to me, it's jumping off the screen that he's rushing these shots. It's almost getting them up is more important than making it. But the one moment that actually really frustrated me came on the defensive end, because he was actually doing a pretty good job of getting out of the way when they would show Duncan and then Jimmy would take over. It's just, hey, be a placeholder here. Jimmy was in position yelling at him and at one point grabbed him and tried to toss him aside. He took too long and then he was lost and he was pointing at Kelly. Oh, get Markieff Morris. And Markieff Morris buries an open three as a result of Duncan Robinson being too late on the switch. That's when I yelled, I'm going to kill you myself.
So he was just sort of spinning around disoriented like someone who's lost their bearings.
The game plan's been the game plan the entire game. This is a fourth quarter. Why do you think now you're on LeBron?
But you mean like, are you saying that what triggered you, I'm going to kill you myself? Are you saying it's like those APBs that you get in South Florida when an old person has left?
Yeah, it was like an Amber Alert. Well, I want to put out an Amber Alert for Duncan Robinson specifically because it came off on the heels of a wide open miss.
Wait, though.
Phone star buzzing.
Aren't Amber Alerts just for like children abductions?
Missing people, yeah. And there's like Silver Alerts. I think it's Silver Alert for the older people.
Yeah, Silver Alert.
Gray Alerts.
Alert. Yeah.
Okay, so what you're saying is that Duncan Robinson, like a 95-year-old with Alzheimer's who has escaped a facility, and now the family is worried. That was your state of mind as you saw Duncan Robinson do pirouettes in the paint.
Looked like. It's what he looked like when he was wandering away on defense. It was the second time, too, that he just sort of left the shooter open. Remember early in that first quarter where he dared the greatest basketball player of his generation to shoot an open three?
All right, hold on.
That was something.
Can we just marvel at something for a second? Because we spent a lot of time today just simply making fun of me, and I earned it. I earned every dollop of it. But you say, Mike, that First Take and ESPN isn't celebrating that performance enough. I don't believe we are either from this standpoint. I want you to take a close look at what was on the court with Jimmy Butler last night.
The starting five
is
hilarious.
It's Kelly Olynyk. It's Myers Leonard. It's Tyler Hero missing a bunch of shots. It's a 19-year-old, the second most faith that you had in one of their players last night. He's now 20 years old. He started this season 19.
That's what was on the court with him, and what was against him was LeBron and Anthony Davis.
And then he's like, get in here, Solomon Hill. And they can't rest him but for 2 minutes. In fact, they let him rest for 1 minute, not even 1 minute, at the top of the fourth quarter. And it's like, bleep this. We lost the lead. LeBron's doing things. Jimmy, get back out there. Like, look at what was on the court with him, Stugatz.
I believe Jimmy just stood up. Like, I don't even think Spo turned to him. Jimmy just stood up and walked to the scorer's table.
His longest rest came in that second quarter, and he shook Eric Spoelstra off. Spo had to actually pull him off the court. It works out when you have that performance because he does seem like, wow, this guy's irrational. He told Rachel before game two, we're going to win. Why would you say that? You're up against Anthony Davis and LeBron James, and I understand you're Jimmy Butler, and you're not supposed to have self-awareness, but you've lost Bam. You've lost Goran. Why would you say that?
Well, what was he talking about when he said we figured some things out?
I mean, I guess what they figured out is they have to get Anthony Davis in foul trouble. Everyone's going to say that the Lakers didn't play hard and Anthony Davis did this disappearing act, which he did in that second half when he was largely out there. But I think he and the Lakers were totally out of rhythm in getting him in foul trouble, which is maybe part of it. But he told Rachel straight up, it's like, what's the difference? What did you learn? Rebound. We have to rebound. Well, it helps when Anthony Davis isn't on the court.
Again, I want to accentuate that the teammates that Jimmy Butler had out there with him, you're saying one is guilty of a silver alert, okay? Somebody who looks so scared to you that you think he's disoriented. None is not only recovering from COVID, but he got totally outplayed by Caruso. Like, none did. And it's not saying much to say he got totally outplayed because Caruso only had 8 points, but none wasn't very good either. It's not like there was a whole lot of help for Jimmy all over the court.
The amazing part is the double-digit assist because he had nobody out there with him except for Kelly Olynyk, who I didn't have having the guts, but glad to see you. We needed it.
Kelly Olynyk, I mean, there are two basketball players in that series between Caruso and Kelly Olynyk that if I simply showed you their face.
Three, Solomon Hill.
And said, what do they do for a living? You would not say basketball player. If I'm just showing you their face, like, yeah. Is that a bun that Olynyk has?
Solomon Hill in there, not just on merit, but also because of what the obvious thing is you're doing with the white guys. But let's not forget
contribution. Okay, fair enough. Thank you for the help and the accent there, but Caruso looks ridiculous in that headband.
He looks like Elmer Fudd in Space Jam.
I mean, it looks absurd. Olynyk just looks like he should be playing with a surfboard tucked under his arm the entire game and a bottle of kombucha. How do you pronounce it?
I've also screamed maple at my TV several times too, which is an R-rated nickname for Kelly Olynyk, who's Canadian, by the way.
I thought his tastes like maple.